This is KVNF's regional newscast for Tuesday, June 22nd. I'm Gavin Dahl. Montrose County entered Stage 1 fire restrictions Monday, joining other West Slope counties. Restrictions apply to unincorporated areas, not Montrose, Olathe, Naterita, or Nuclea. Paonia Town Trustees meet for regular business tonight at 6:30. Residents can join in person at Town Hall or remotely on the Town of Paonia YouTube channel. The hydrology report is once again on the agenda, also listed as a dark skies proclamation and a drought update. A proposed 500-unit, 35-acre multifamily and senior living housing development in Montrose is being scrapped as the developer shifts gears to a smaller, more straightforward project. The Montrose Press reports conditions for approval by City Council, including reduced density and greater setbacks, cut too deeply into the developer's economy of scale for the hub at Montrose Crossing. Instead, a single 160-unit building will be built across from Spruce Point in Montrose, which will require no variances from the city. Residents of Cobble Creek packed the council chambers last week. On Friday, the State Water Quality Control Commission delayed for a decade a proposal that would have allowed industries to further degrade polluted waters. Some on the commission had sought to broaden opportunities for industries to discharge more pollutants into streams already considered heavily impacted by historic degradation. The Colorado Sun reports the Federal Clean Water Act allows polluters to make a compelling argument that worsening the conditions of a stretch of river is unavoidable in creating economic growth for a community. A broad coalition of conservation groups, environmental justice advocates, and state and local officials said they're happy to see further water degradation blocked for now. University of Colorado Associate Research Professor Hannah Brinkert-Smith at the Institute of Behavioral Science has published a study concerned with wildfire risks. Kate Redmond speaks to her about the role of residents' choices in wildfire mitigation and getting prepared.
Fire season comes earlier each year in the West. If you are living in a wooded area or what can be described as a woodland-urban interface zone, chances are you have already reviewed your fire plan and have a go bag ready. A Colorado University researcher recently found that some residents in fire-prone areas are not as ready as they think they are. Hannah Brinkert-Smith surveyed over 1,000 people in Bailey, site of the devastating Hayman Fire in 2002. She found there was an enormous gap between the mitigation and the readiness that people think they have and what they actually have. One key to readiness is the strength of community.
Some people can be very risk-averse and respond accordingly, work really hard, have really well-mitigated parcels, attend every meeting. They are Gold Star residents. Other people may be more risk tolerant and may be willing to have trees or vegetation closer to their home. Communities are comprised of people of all stripes. They are neighbors with one another. If they're talking to each other and they have a shared notion of concern, there is the potential that they can move together towards a more mitigated community. It can also happen the other way around. And so we don't always know, and we can't always predict which direction it goes. So for example, there's research that says when a fire comes, people can have a wake-up call, right? They suddenly aware of, they've had this experience, they then become much more like that Gold Star resident. They can also have a different kind of reaction, which is called a letdown, where they thought that they were going to lose their home. And so they ended up feeling like they were more resilient to the hazard than they originally thought. And maybe they become more relaxed about it in the future.
70% of residents surveyed responded that their house and parcel are moderate to low risk, while only 19% were categorized as such by experts. 61% were calculated to be high risk, and 20% were deemed very high or extreme risk. The purpose of this study is to allow the local fire district to improve communication about wildfire risk and better allocate resources in this high fire risk area. For KVNF, I'm Kate Redmond.
Last week, the Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources heard testimony from Western senators and federal agency officials about proposed bills across the West, including the Colorado Outdoor Recreation Economy Act. KD&K's Amy Haddon Marsh has this update.
The Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources heard testimony from several Western senators and federal agency officials about proposed bills across the region. Democratic Colorado Senator John Hickenlooper is a member of the committee. He spoke on behalf of the CORE Act.
When I was a young governor in 2011, 2012, I heard stories about the young senator, Michael Bennett, who was assembling community members from all walks of life, ranchers and farmers and hikers and hunters and anglers, and listening to them as he began putting together what you see before yourselves today is Senate Bill 173.
The CORE Act would protect 400,000 acres in the state, including the Thompson Divide south of Carbondale, said Democratic Colorado Senator Michael Bennett, also at the hearing.
The CORE Act combines four proposals that, taken together, would protect over 400,000 acres of public land in Colorado. This includes new wilderness, recreation, and conservation areas, and lasting protections for iconic landscapes like the Thompson Divide, where Teddy Roosevelt came to hunt in 1905, just months after establishing the U.S. Forest Service.
Permanent protection of the Thompson Divide from future oil and gas leasing is the jewel in the crown for those who have fought for the area for more than a decade, like the Thompson Divide Coalition or Wilderness Workshop.
Our goal is permanent protection of this area, and that would require a bill.
Area resident Dorothea Ferris worked with the Thompson Divide Coalition. She spoke with KDNK in 2012 about difficulties the group was dealing with at the time.
We had a bill drafted. We presented this. It was ready to be introduced. I had worked with John Sals, our representative at the time, to move forward with his staff and to draft legislation. We were there. John Salazar lost the election, and we have been working since then with Representative Tipton, who has not worked to get the legislation introduced.
The CORE Act is that bill. Senator Bennett and Democratic Representative Joe Neguse introduced the bill in Congress in 2019. It passed the U.S. House that October, but was stymied in the Senate by Republican Colorado Senator Cory Gardner's lack of enthusiasm for the bill. Gardner was replaced by John Hickenlooper in 2020, something Senator Bennett said was key to the passage of the bill. Hickenlooper's support has at the least opened the door to Senate passage, as was evident by Wednesday's committee hearing. The Bureau of Land Management and the U.S. Forest Service on the national level also support the bill. Will Rausch, executive director of Carbondale's Wilderness Workshop, says that's a good sign.
We're really excited to see the CORE Act moving so quickly in this Congress. You know, it was one of the very first bills introduced and passed through the House already. Now it's, you know, it was the first bill in the list of a whole bunch of bills in this most recent hearing in the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee. It was the first major hearing on public lands bills for that committee. You know, there's a real difference in terms of priority and timing this go around.
Rausch says the next steps for the CORE Act are adjustments to the bill, passage out of the Energy and Natural Resources Committee, a thumbs up from the U.S. Senate, and a presidential signature. For KDNK News, I'm Amy Haddon Marsh.
That does it for today's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.